Hey, everybody, welcome back to Simply Soccer. I am your host, Michelle Hootink, back with my co-host, Christian Conway.
El Trafico is done, and I was sitting in traffic heading to the recording studio today, so it felt a little poetic, but glad to be on the back end of that.
Yeah, and thanks for being here, as always, listeners and Christian. Man, it sucks to lose El Trafico. I hate it. And unfortunately, the Galaxy did not do anything that we said on our episode. They really came out flat. I mean, LAFC did not play their best. You know, the penalty, it was a gift to them, as always. You know, there's going to be calls like this, and the Galaxy just have to be up so that way they don't miss out on opportunities and dropping points. But it was worse than dropping points. I am borderline, like I said, Vanny out. I don't think that there's any creativity. It seemed like Vanny was out of ideas. And then on top of that, you know, it honestly could have been a much higher scoring game if the Galaxy could just capitalize and if Bolonga didn't keep skying it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. They did come out flat, especially in that first about 10 minutes when LAFC kind of just came after them. I think this was really interesting from a tactics perspective in the sense that I think LAFC handled this game a lot better than Vanny had planned for. I think, you know, you look at the way that Steve Cherundolo's LAFC teams, they tend to like to play with the ball. They like to use the ball to unsettle you. They like to, you know, move in a way that's hard to deal with. And the Galaxy, I mean, they just really were not expecting LAFC to come out and concede possession. And LAFC wanted to play behind the ball. And I think, you know, it's interesting that we talk about possession as a statistic. And I know I have come on this show and said, possession is the most meaningless stat and all those other things. The thing about it, though, is it can be useful to use as a guide, which is, I think, what the Galaxy's best performances have been when they play against the ball this year. And it's really interesting because last year, a lot of their best performances were when they had a lot of the ball. They had a lot of time to create a bunch of chances. And the thing we were bemoaning was the fact that they just didn't give away, or they didn't have a lot of chance creators. So they'd get into these really high value positions and they would create a chance, but they didn't have chance creators or chance finishers that would get involved with it. Now they do. And LAFC basically said, okay, hey, look, you know what? We can defend your chance creation. I mean, 60% possession from the Galaxy. You know, but LAFC, every single time the ball turned over, they had five runners in through midfield. And the Galaxy, again, what's the great story of the LA Galaxy this year? Transition defense, right? Like, we've talked about this. We have said this multiple times, that the way to beat the Galaxy is to get them running. And when the ball turns over, to just absolutely unload a quick, you know, five-yard pass to an on-rushing winger, and you're it. If you look at the positioning map, LAFC, I mean, it is literally built around having three wingers in the running every single time that the ball turned over. The Galaxy just had no time to compete with that. And I'll give LAFC a lot of credit in this game, because what they did was they put three players on Riqui Puig. And the way that you stop the Galaxy in 2024 is you don't stop Dejan Jovetic, you don't stop Joseph Paincel, you don't stop Gabriel Peck. You stop their supply line. It's the same way that I think you can beat Manchester City these days, which is, oh, it's not about Haaland. It's about who's getting the ball to Haaland. And the Galaxy just, whenever Riqui Puig got on the ball in midfield, LFC would say, hey, look, okay, cool, you know. And Puig would not get fouled or would, you know, have any issues. It would be, okay, nothing's on here. All right, let me see. Okay, let me get it out to Yamane. Yamane would be like, yeah, there's nothing really on here. Let's get it to Puig. Puig comes back to Aude. And Aude's like, yeah, there's not a lot here. Okay, well, maybe we'll just give it to Delgado and he can shuttle it a little bit more so we can get that little bit downfield. And the chance creation comes when LAFC switches off defensively in the center of midfield, which is, it's a ball out to Delgado. Delgado charges, takes space, finds Puig. Puig slides it in for Aude. Aude does the right thing and tries to find Peck. And, you know, Jovetic is Johnny on the spot, but then it's blocked and Aude kind of finally makes the finish. But again, it was just the way that they got negated through just consistently good team defense is a concern for me, because now the blueprint's out there, right? Like, now the blueprint is, everyone's going to look at what LAFC did to the Galaxy and basically just bored them to death, you know? To your point about them coming out flat, I don't know if they came out flat necessarily. It just, and this is a trend that has happened in every El Tráfico after the Rose Bowl, maybe a little bit beforehand, one or two before. They almost come out too excited for this game. You know what I mean? Like they come out with too much on the line when, obviously for LAFC, they come out with a lot on the line. It's El Tráfico. You get up for this game. But the Galaxy almost get too up for it, and they kind of lose their heads, and they kind of lose the plot, if that makes sense. And I think that kind of happened here in this game. You look at Cerrillo just snapping into tackles, and like you want that, but he was way too ambitious. You look at the way that Paisel and Peck were just like screaming for calls any single time they got hit. Okay, fair, but you have to be level. And I didn't think the Galaxy ever got there, and I think that maturity is still lacking from this group.
Yeah, you made some really great points. And, I say the Galaxy came out flat because I just feel like no one stepped up. I mean, sure, Ade in the 29th minute, it was a scramble. And the fact that he just like was like, I'm just taking it and like just kicked it in, like that's, on a loose ball, I don't care if it's sloppy. That's the kind of initiative that needs to be taken, right? And then how frustrating for Ade's goal to just be snuffed out in the 35th minute by Bolonga, of course, when the PK is given. And we'll talk about that PK in a minute. But when I say that the Galaxy were flat, I just felt like I said, they just didn't have any ideas. I love our guys on paper. They're really awesome, but I just didn't see that fight, that heart to come back. And sure, maybe it's because LAFC had them figured out. I mean, you would just see Puig get swarmed. You would just see that left side of the pitch just get completely is it the left or the right that Peck plays on? Sometimes they move around. But anyways, they did not get the ball to Paisel, and I would just see him with his arm up, and he's open. I mean, it was driving me insane that, yeah, from the outside looking in, from our view, from my view at home anyway, I could see that, this like Paisel's open, or hey, why do you guys keep playing it up only on one side? Why do you keep trying the same thing over and over? And that's what I get worried about, because not only does it become predictable, it looks like they don't have any ideas. They're getting out coached. And then a team like LAFC, this is not where I thought their unbeaten streak would get snapped. Am I surprised that it got snapped? No, because when we looked at the Sounders game, they seem to struggle there too. And so, there's still these problems, and we try to, give the Galaxy some grace because there's a lot that's a lot better. This season, and with this team particularly, especially the guys on the pitch, like in no way do I think their job is easy at any point. Bad calls or not, I understand the frustration about the refs and all this stuff, but at the same time, you just have to like pick up and move on. It hurts because it's a rivalry game, but at the same time, it's like let's just keep moving forward. I look at this as just another MLS match in a lot of ways. It does come up, big for Rose Bowl that's coming. And yeah, the LAFC fans are insufferable. I get it. I get that this hurts. I'm just more concerned moving forward that the teams, as we've said, are going to continue to challenge the Galaxy, and they have to be able to, either not get stretched out and exhausted like string cheese. And they also have to be able to not get swarmed, and guys have to be able to get the goals in. It's unfortunate that I just feel like a lot of our best guys were just quieted on the day.
Yeah, and there's that brilliant chance, and what was it like the second or third minute where they forced that save out of Hugo Lloris, and they faced a couple of very good saves out of Hugo Lloris. I will say that.
And McCarthy did a fabulous job as well,
Yeah, and McCarthy did spare a lot of blushes on the day. I also do think there's that chance very late in the game. I think it was the 82nd minute where if that goes in, then we're talking about 2-2, and I think the Galaxy may have gone on to make it 3-2 and win the game. But again, you make the point of just like. The way that I go back to my point about them being too up for a game, and I know that sounds like really controversial and weird. But the way that Aude celebrated, and just when he was running up to the away supporters and just was like losing his mind, and I was just like, oh. But again, it's the goal they concede in the 4th minute, right? It's the goal they concede where it's that is something you cannot concede, right? Because it's I can't remember who it was on the back post that just he doesn't have to
Yes,
do anything.
set pieces. Why wasn't that guy marked? It's
Well,
like soccer 101. We've said this a bajillion times, and I don't understand why Yoshida had hit one of his worst games. But yeah, you got to mark that post. You got to mark that guy.
and it's just this is not the first set piece we've had where you look at and you think, huh? Like obviously that's going to be a point of concern here, and that's going to be a point of what they probably worked on this week in training. I mean, you cannot concede. I will say the Galaxy played some fun soccer against LAFC. They are a fun team. Like they are a team that is, you know, a team that's happy to be the protagonist every now and then, that creates a ton of chances, creates a ton of high value chances. And generally that's a good thing. Like generally everything I saw on Saturday, the results sucked, but a lot of what they created was good. And so I think, you know, there are probably about like 20% of this team is just complete and total bonehead moments. They did, you know, carve out some good chances. You know, they worked hard, and you know, LAFC got him on the break, and that's kind of the way that we kind of expected this game to go. But man, I mean, there was some chances that the Galaxy conceded that I'm like, we, you know, that you can't do that. That's something that you can fix. But the one thing that I don't think you can fix that I think was important was the chance creation the Galaxy made. And I think the way that they create chances through Peck and Paintsill is a really good thing. I thought Peck was great in this game, and I don't think he's gotten his feet under him yet. So I think that's a really good sign moving forward.
You can fix it if you have the right coach. You
But
know? Right,
set pieces are teachable. You know what I mean?
but that's what I'm saying. Like, this is so Vanny's fault. Like, I do feel like we just need somebody new. I want to stand behind Vanny, but like I said, it just seems like he just keeps getting out coached. And yeah, hopefully they can come up with some more opportunities that they can capitalize on. I mean, hitting the post, I mean, my God, is that just like the bane of our existence, the post?
Yeah, and I know I'll say I think Chirundolo has Vanny's number. I just from every game I've seen in El Tráfico, Chirundolo gets Vanny. But you know I do think again, one, this team had to come to earth at some point. We were not going to go through an entire season undefeated simply because
Sure.
of the flaws within the LA Galaxy. But also, you know they there is a lot here that I like. There's a lot here that I'm like. Again, it's one of those games where it's like, okay, yeah, it's a disappointing result, but you just think there's going to be one game where they unload on a team and, you know, score like 5, 6 goals, and then all of a sudden they're off, you know, they're off and running. Like, good luck. It just did feel like this game was a bit of a trap game. It felt like they got a little too excited, and it felt like just everything kind of this was the game that if it was going to all fall apart, it was going to fall apart. And obviously that penalty call. I'm going to spare my oxygen on that. We all know, we all saw it. It was ridiculous, like utterly ridiculous. But
Yeah, I don't blame Yamane at all.
no,
He didn't do anything wrong, and he's a professional. Like, I mean, not that they're not all professionals, but you know what I mean? He knows what he's doing in that position.
and he played the situation exactly right. And I will tell you this, it's the same way that I was talking to you, an Arsenal fan of mine, with the Bukayo Saka penalty on Tuesday. Or a penalty non-call. We got the penalty call on, you know, the Saturday. It's very good attackers. The one thing they are very good at doing is forcing the referee to make a call, right? It's yes, like Bouanga leaves his leg in for far too long, is looking for contact when he obviously knows the ankle is not there. He obviously knows Yamane's got him beat. Like, you're good, like attackers, when they realize that that's going to happen, obviously you're gonna like trail your leg out a little bit more, and he's looking for a call. And what is he doing? He's putting Yamane and the referee in a position of jeopardy. It's a 50-50 call, and you know, obviously, but when you have those kind of calls, what the attacker is doing that's very smart is he's asking the referee to make a call, right? And in that moment, the referee has it's a binary moment, right? It is either it is a penalty or it's not. And there is no kind of like half like, okay, like I might call the free kick, I might not, whatever, we'll see. You know, it's a penalty or it's not. And Denny Bawanga, because he realizes the play's broken, is like, okay, I'm gonna go force this referee into making a call. And the referee made a call. Is it infuriating? And is it the correct call? Not, yes, it's infuriating. No, it is not the correct call, but it's what skilled attackers do, is they force referees into making calls. Yamane, I think handled the situation perfectly. It was kind of fun to watch him get absolutely furious afterwards, because I was like, oh, this guy gets it. But yeah, no, it was just an absolutely ridiculous call. But hey, the Galaxy found their way into that game. They got a goal. They probably should have had two. Probably should have had three in the second half, to be quite honest with you. There is enough out of this game where I don't think this is a backbreaker of a loss. I didn't think LAFC was particularly impressive, I will say that. But I do think they counterattacked well. But the Galaxy just, they played on the front foot. They were really, really good about getting the ball out to Paintsill and Peck. I thought Peck had his best game in a Galaxy jersey. I know the sample size is pretty small so far, but if he's going to play like that, then good things are going to happen. I think just again, it's they need to have a damn breaking game where they score six against an opponent or something like that. And all of a sudden, everyone's like, heck yeah, let's do this thing.
Yeah, I think that there was, as I said, a lot more for the Galaxy going into BMO because they're the away team. They're sitting up in first place. They're louder, right? The other side is really loud. They're noisy neighbors, and so I understand when you're saying that the Galaxy got up a little too hard. I did see that on the pitch when the guys were getting so overheated. And I was getting worried because I was like, oh man, they're gonna get themselves ejected. Both coaches got yellow cards on the day, of course. And so they need to be able to control their tempers. It's so frustrating. I understand these guys that are new to MLS going, what the heck is going on? What are these calls? But they have to maintain their cool the whole time. And it is a frustrating game. I mean, look, as you know, we are gonna save our breath on that penalty call. We already know what's up, but when you got Twelman saying that that's not a penalty, I was really like, wow, this is, I don't know if it was just bad angles or what, because this is just where those times where VAR just fails us, and this is why we hate it so much.
I mean, if I was in the away section, what was it, 217, which when you're attacking that end, it's not a really great angle to look at the game in a very kind of critical way. If we could tell from 217 that that wasn't a penalty and you're sent to the monitor, like, come on, like, just come on. Like, it is that it was just, I mean, it was ridiculous. I just hope Vinny earned his yellow. But sometimes I talk about earning your yellow or earning your red card. You know what I mean? Like, just like, all right, if you're gonna get carded, do something that earns it. I hope Vanny earned his. Like, I really do, because I have a feeling some of the language that was thrown around on that touch line was, let's just put it was not Sunday school worthy. Let's just put it that way.
Or simply soccer worthy because we try to keep it G-rated because kids find their way here. So yeah, I wasn't gonna be worried going into Vancouver, but now I am. Vancouver's sitting up in first, and in MLS those rankings don't necessarily mean anything, right? But I've like you said, they've got to come out and they've got to put six away against Vancouver if they want any kind of redemption right now.
Yeah, first off, I would say let's pump the brakes a little bit on Vancouver, just simply because they played Dallas, San Jose, at least at the start of this year. They ripped Toronto apart. Toronto not been great recently. I don't know how much to make of them, if that makes sense. They lead on points per game, 2.17. Again, but I do point to those three games out of the first, what is it, six that they've played. How much can you take away about them through, a 13-point stretch where, three of their wins have come against incredibly dire sides? But again, I think, you make a very good point, that you have to play the games in front of you, and they've done a good job. They've played the games in front of them. I think that, that goals against stat, six goals, 14-4. I don't know how much I believe in this team. I think what we have seen from them is that they're a team that likes to sit low, likes to beat you on the counterattack. They don't really necessarily play with possession. They're actually one of the lowest pressing teams in the league. So they they are very pragmatic in the sense that they do defend deep, use shape and formational discipline in order to beat you. They were the lowest pressing team in MLS until Saturday, and then they started, pressing. And then they kind of saw a lot of success against Toronto. I do think the Galaxy are going to have a lot more of the ball in this game. Like they did against LAFC. I think they created a lot of good chances against LAFC, and I think they're going to create a lot of good chances against Vancouver. Just the problem with Vancouver is they invite you to play them, and then what do? They eat you alive in transition. Well, what is the Galaxy really bad at? Getting eaten alive in transition. I think they are good. I don't know if they're great, if that makes sense. I do think this early part of the season is a bit of a mirage. Considering, again, as I mentioned, the three games against some opposition that I think is less than good in MLS. I wonder it for the Galaxy, they are going to create a ton of chances in this game because Vanni Sartini likes to concede possession to you. It's a question of can Paintsil, Peck, Jovalich, Hooch, a little bit of Delgado on the day against LAC, but he gets into the attack and Oude, it's not on my goal scoring list this year. Can they, with the great chances they create, finish those chances? And remember, we talked a lot in the preseason about, okay, cool, like Daniel Jovalich is going to be the guy this year when it comes to goal scoring, but he's going to need one of Peck or Paintsil or both of them to turn in a 10 goal 10 assist season. And Paintsil's somewhat done that so far. If they can get Peck firing, Vancouver's going to have a lot of trouble defending this team. But that being said, Vancouver's going to give the Galaxy a lot of trouble in terms of transition defense. So I expect maybe the Galaxy to be a little bit more conservative in their operation, in terms of, they're not going to throw everyone forward every single time they get the ball. And it's not going to be a lot of, I would expect Yamane to maybe stay home a little bit more in this game. But, Sartini has talked about the fact that he said, we don't necessarily feel like we've faced the toughest opposition yet. For them, this is going to be the toughest opposition they've faced so far.
Yeah, that's a really good point. That hopefully the Galaxy can give Vancouver a run for the money, especially since we're away. This is one of those situations where, there's not another home game for another 2 weeks for the Galaxy. I think 3 weeks now. So, the Galaxy win probability is much lower in that case. The likelihood that this game is a draw, I mean, that's what we keep saying, that in a away game you get the point. But I think the Galaxy they have a lot to prove once again, and they really need to go over there. I also want everybody's hamstrings and ACLs and everything else to just stay healthy, because it's not worth getting injured. I want them to put up the fight. I don't want them to come back playing from behind again. But it's really not worth pulling something and then missing a match, right? Even though we're supposed to have Dylan Neal coming back. Yeah, because a lot of our guys just can't play the full 90 in the back. That's my feeling, yeah.
I think they need to turn in, or like, I looked through the first six games and we're past comic corollary. The Galaxy haven't turned in a signature performance yet. The only one I could maybe point to is the game against Seattle at home where they won 1-0. But that was influenced by the rain, the conditions, and Seattle just didn't look up for it on the day. They need to turn in a signature performance, right? They need to go out there and basically beat the brakes off a team in a tough place to play, because Vancouver is a tough place to play. Like that crowd gets up for it, and it just is. They need to turn in a signature performance, because I think that's going to really galvanize this team again. Do I think they can do it? Yeah, totally. I don't think Vancouver is as good as everyone thinks they are. And I think this them being on the top of the Supporters' Shield rankings is not going to be something that's going to last very long. But again, they need to turn in a fantastic performance. I also think there's a really interesting stat that just came out. There have been over 2.5 goals scored in 14 of the LA Galaxy's last 16 games, which A speaks to a very leaky defense, but also B speaks to the Galaxy creating a ton of chances. But the other concerning stat is the LA Galaxy have conceded at least two goals in 13. I've conceded at least two goals in 13 of their last 16 matches. So that's going to be another kind of concern of like, okay, for a team that likes to play on the counterattack and a team that likes to, bait you into high possession stats and then kill you in transition, that concerns me. So, if I was a betting man, I'd say hit pound the over, because there's going to be goals in this game. But, I do think the Galaxy, if they can turn in a signature performance, I just think this season feels a little bit better. And we've talked about resiliency with this team, and I think this is one of those games where, hey, you lost El Tráfico. That's an emotional game. That's a game that you get up for massively. Okay, what are you going to do about it? And I think this is going to be where we understand what this team is.
Yeah, they have to bounce back. They have to move on, as I said. And soccer is life, and soccer goes on.
Yeah, no, I think they can. It's just they have to. And then we will know a lot more about this team. I think on Saturday we're going to know a lot more about this team than we did after last week, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and then you said we're not really sure what to make of Vancouver. I'm worried we're going to see what to make of them as well. And they get to be at home.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, yeah, I just don't think a team that's top of the West having beaten have with your signature wins being San Jose, Dallas, and Toronto. I don't see a lot about that. That makes me like, okay, actually, I'm a little worried about this team.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, Galaxy is the better team going in. Yeah, I mean, I don't mean to sound like it's doom, like there's some kind of like gray cloud over the Galaxy right now. You know what I mean?
I'm
It
not,
hurts to lose the rivalry match.
let me just put it this way. I'm not saying Vancouver's, a sheep in wolf's clothing. Like, I'm not saying that. Like, let's not go that far, okay? But I mean, again, the Galaxy signature wins this year, or signature wins this year are like beating Seattle, beating, again, San Jose. Yes, I will invoke the San Jose clause. That is true. But what they have done in terms of their signature wins, I just think are a little bit better than Vancouver's in terms of as a stat line. Obviously, beating Seattle's a huge one, beating San Jose is a huge one. But, like I just feel like their signature wins are a little bit more, I don't know how to put it, a little more compelling than necessarily the Kansas City game where they go 2-0 down and then they win 3-2. Like, I mean, like th this it just these signature wins just feel a little bit like a stronger resume than Vancouver's signature wins, if that makes sense.
Absolutely, absolutely, it makes sense. And of course, we are obviously LA Galaxy fans. I mean, that goes without saying. I mean, we're not normal fans. We're hardcore. We got a podcast. We travel to see them. So we love this team wholeheartedly, and we're fair when we come out and say what the Galaxy didn't play well, but it is definitely there's a lot to take away from the Galaxy's performances right now, and especially since it's still early in the season, and we are seeing a lot better with the team. I just want it to be more convincing, as you said, like playing from behind. Right now, I'm not Vanny's fan, and I just don't want to see him get outcoached again in Vancouver. So, that said, go Galaxy, and they can get a win on the road. That would be really great for us to start feeling like, okay, Galaxy's back.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think, Sartini, he's a pretty simple coach, so I think Vanny can match up against him very well. I do think the Galaxy match up against Vancouver well. They're just going to have to work on that transition defense and the set piece defense, because Vancouver's going to be looking for a lot of set piece opportunities, and that has been a serious kind of like wobble this season that I did not expect. So that's definitely something that I'm going to be watching on Saturday in terms of how they manage that, because a lot of the goals they've conceded this year are on set pieces, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, how did you do that? Like, really, guys? Like, come on. So I do feel good about this game. Like, I actually really do. We don't do predictions on this show, but like, I do. I just think it relies on if the Galaxy can figure out that transition defense stuff that's plagued them all year. If they can do that, then they've got Vancouver pretty much right where they want them.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel like the Galaxy go in treating these games like practice, but I definitely think that they need to get more challenges in. Like, let's get more shots in. Let's get that ball to Paintsill. He wants it so bad. He's so hungry for it. And let's get Jovetic his sixth goal.
110%, and they do need more. They need to spread the love in terms of goals, because you can't rely on just one goal scorer to be successful. So I'm hoping that Peck can get on the board. I'm hoping Paintsill continues to, actually find the back of the net instead of find the post. But yeah, I do think if they can start spreading the love amongst the goal scorers, I think the Galaxy are. I think the Gal. I'm not again. I'm not calling them cup contenders, and I'm not calling them shield contenders, because that defense does scare me. But I think they're going to put the fear of God in a couple of teams.
Yeah, that's ideally right. US women are once again She Believes Cup winners. I, of course, the US women, we just kind of expect them to win tournaments now, don't we?
Oh yeah,
So.
but it wasn't easy. I mean, they really had to labor through this thing. Obviously, going 1-0 down to Japan very early, somehow pull it back to 2-1. And then, of course, the game against Canada, two, quite frankly, self-inflicted moments that send the game to penalties, and Alyssa Nehr has to stand on her head in the penalty shootout, which she seems to be very good at doing nowadays. I didn't really learn a lot, if that makes sense. And I'm kind of bummed about that, because you looked at the players that were called in. Lil Johannes was the one that I was probably the most excited about. But, it just feels like it's really weird right now in the U.S. Women's National Team, because obviously Emma Hayes has not fully taken over. She's, from everything I've been told, she's involved in the day-to-day, but from a distance, because she's still got Chelsea to worry about. And then it does just feel kind of like this is a weird holding pattern. And I'll give Tyler Kilgore. Twyla Kilgore a ton of credit, because I can't imagine this job is easy for her, right? Like, you're going to be out of this job in about, I don't know, 3 months, 2 months, right? When they convene camp in May for the Olympics, and Emma Hayes is going to be the head coach. And like, we've been told that she's going to, Kilgore is still going to be around, but like, it did feel like, watching a lot of this, I wish that they had been more experimental, and I also wish that they had been I wish I walked out of the She Believes Cup feeling a little better, if that makes sense, because this is the last time the group will convene before they begin their pre-world or pre-Olympic camp. It just I don't know. It did feel like, okay, this is great, and like, congratulations, yay, silverware, and I like shiny things and all of that other stuff, and no one really came out of the camp without like with serious injury. It's just like, this is it's just weird in terms of like the knowledge that the succession of coaching is going to happen in May, and then all of a sudden in June, July, you have a massive tournament. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, that all of this is leading up to a much bigger tournament. And I guess we aren't really sure what to make of this team. We're winning these tournaments, but like you said, what about our coach? What about these takeaways? What about these up and coming players and there and all of this? So I'm glad that they won. It's great to keep picking up silverware, but definitely we're preparing for the summer.
I mean, also keep in mind, the US is in a brutal group for the Olympics. I mean, Australia, Zambia, and Germany, they're gonna have it. Like, I'm very pleased with the fact that, they've brought in Jaden Shaw, Nyjah Wonger, a lot of younger players, basically bedded in Naomi Girma into the back line and stuff like that. It's just, they're gonna have to get good real fast, because that Olympic group is underratedly incredibly tough. And so Emma Hayes has got to be ready to hit the ground running, because otherwise, we're going to have a little bit of a problem. And knowing this fan base, if things go south in that group, it's immediately going to be an issue. But I think the programming around this group is impressive. I think it's good too, because like they've updated their tactics. Yes, bringing in the new kids is awesome, but it just feels like the programming around this group isn't as a lot better, a lot like more positive. I don't know how to explain it, but like they just feel lighter. Like it's a weird thing to say, I know, but I just think, Emma Hayes has her work cut out for her troop, but I do think there is a lot here that I really like. And there was a lot of moments in the She Believes Cup. I really, really thought they looked good, but I don't think they looked great. And I didn't think they looked like gold cup or gold medal favorites. Like I don't think at any point they did. So that's going to be something they have to work towards in that pre-Olympic camp.
Yeah, and a lot of these other countries, luckily for women, in soccer, they're coming up, and so this guarantee that the U.S. women are going to win, that's not always a guarantee, and so I don't want the U.S. team to like get inflated in any kind of way or like going to, I don't think that they would go into a game like for sure, like too sure of themselves. They still have to earn what they're doing, and they've got their work cut out for them, and they've got a lot of competition as well.
Oh, I think that arrogance or whatever, what I think they would construe as confidence, but I think a lot of us construed as arrogance is gone. I mean, after what happened at the Olympics, or not the Olympics, at the World Cup, how just, well, also at the Olympics and in Tokyo, how completely they fell on their faces. That wounded the U.S. women's national team program in a way that I don't think anyone expected. And I've long maintained that the U.S. women's national team is the best national team in the world, men's or women's. But the way that ego and that confidence got wounded in those two tournaments, they're not going into any game nowadays, overthinking or like thinking that they're going to just absolutely run their opposition off the field. They're going to be focused when they walk into every one of those games.
Yeah, I mean that's really fair. I guess what it came off of for me was that, they just won their inaugural Gold Cup, fantastic, and then they won She Believes Cup. So it just like back-to-back wins like that are fabulous. But let's see, yeah, let's keep our head in the game and see where this where this is going to lead to next. And like you said, we've still got adjustments to be made. And yeah, I'm glad to hear that. The arrogance is out the window.
Yeah, Paris will be a big test for this group, but I think for a lot of the younger players, they're going to really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you guys so much for being here. Thank you again, Christian, and stay tuned.
We'll see you soon.